Okay, everybody happy today? It's sure nice outside. Before I come over, you could hear all the birds chirping. I said, you know, it'd be nice if people get that happy when they come to church, huh? They can sure get happy. That's nature, isn't it? Sometimes they don't have the problems that the people's got today, but other times they probably got more with the weather and so forth like that. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless the service, and I believe He's going to bless it this morning. Don't you believe that? Lord, move on the audience today. And most of all, open their hearts that the Word will sink in and stay inside of them and protect them and heal them and bless them. It's the Word. He sent His Word and He healed them. And bless their hearts this morning together. And may this be another day of wisdom and knowledge that they'll learn from Your Word how that You do things. And it's wonderful. Bless each one today, Lord. And I believe You've heard my prayer. I know that You're going to bless Your people. Oh, it's for You. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that a good feeling in here this morning? It's really great, isn't it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, be seated if you want to. I'll tell you what. You remember, I believe they've got it out this morning on the cassette. If you want that, you better get it back there. If you don't have any finance, you can bring it back later. But it was the sermon about the end, about Satan and what's going to happen, and about Jesus is always eternal and new, you know. And this, the first time that I did that sermon, he told me to wait and do it another time, so I did. And then we're just now getting it out on cassette. And I believe during the week at the time that I was doing the cassette, and I also was in some major mysteries in the Bible, old Satan seemed like to come this way, and I saw him coming in like a tornado right over in here, somewhere over in here. And I just prayed, Lord, he's sure stirred up, isn't he? And I said, you know, we put this out. You know, Satan doesn't like you to expose him. You can work miracles sometime, and you can do this and that. But if you expose Satan according to the Word of what he did in Eden, what he's going to do and to take him to Armageddon and so forth like that, then Satan becomes like angry in the wind and the way he gets in strife and all of those kind of things like that. And of course, as you know, a storm was stirred up and come down, and yet God just seemed to push it off down in that way. And went over in here, and it was in Arizona. They don't ever have this time of the year. They don't have weather like that in that kind of category like that. But nevertheless, he's really stirred up in there. But the cassette is out this week. It's a great one. I thought I'd bring that up there. But mostly, I've been in the Bible. Different parts of the Bible here, but most of you have heard the sermon here. If you don't have any way to hear it on the cassette, that's all right. You heard it once before, but some of them really like the message. It revealed revelation, so maybe you'd want that. But I've been different parts of the Bible in case later on the Lord moves on me at least to do part of them or some of them. I will bring them to you. I've touched on them from time to time in different parts of the Bible, but never brought it quite like this. So I've been in prayer for that and a number of other things. And my ministry probably will change somewhat just a little later on the way that I do minister to the sick, but that's still a little bit. He's been speaking to me about it, but we'll just wait and see. But I want the people to get blessed from the Word of God. I've seen people, now they get close to me, they get healed. The power of God heals people. We see that here. Some of them don't want God. They want to go back out in the world. Some of them want to go back to lukewarm churches. But the real elect of God wants the Word. Can you say amen? You can put it on that. You can pin it right to that each time there. And so we notice in the Bible, as long as Jesus was working miracles and performing great acts in front of them, it was really powerful. He began to come down on the Word of God, and then we began to make statements that didn't agree entirely with their reasoning or anything like that. Then they wanted to kill him. So it was both the miracles that he worked and mostly the Word of God when he equaled himself with God and so forth, and then finally told them who he was, and then they were really enraged. And so the same thing today. It seems like that the Word of God will separate those that are just fooling around and the ones that really want the Lord. How many of you believe that? I really believe that. And so with this, I want you to listen real close this morning, because I got into this, and it's not really complicated, but I began to break off into different type of things until I was taking notation, so you wouldn't miss any of it here. But I want you to listen real close. And remember, be here tonight, and we'll have a great service. And you listen to this real close, and the Lord will bless your hearts. There's great things ahead. How many of you believe that? You really believe that? You really believe it? All right. Now, you listen real close to this, and we'll get in here. But you pray that the Lord would, wherever and what type of mysteries, what you'd want to hear or anything like that, and He will move. But I want Him to be sure, because the way the things are breaking and things are coming on the world, I have to get ready and so forth way in advance. And some of the things I've done won't be out released for about a year or so. But nevertheless, with all of this, I keep my other messages going too. So this morning, you listen real close. Now, if you're new, you won't understand my type of preaching. I don't know why people can't understand me sometimes. I guess because they don't know how the Word of God in the beginning starts and how it ends, so forth like that. But if you'll listen real close, you'll find out it's the truth. The Word of God is always the truth. Can you say amen? It's when you really fully understand something to its ultimate, and it's in such a way that there's not any deliverance, then we know that's not the Word of God. But when you begin, sometimes you may not even understand all that God is showing and revealing. But then when you see the power of God behind it and He's moving in such a way, then you understand that it is God. And that's the way it is today. I believe in trying to bring things simple, but at the same time, some things in the Word of God you can just get about as simple as you can, and the rest is revelation. It's taken just like He meant it to, by faith. It's taken by faith. Some people said, if I could just understand that, I kind of understand what it means, but if He could just, you know, come down with His voice and tell me, well, He does many times right through my voice. He'll speak right out in here, and He'll speak through other ministers. He's always in the Old Testament, New Testament there. And you take it by faith what you don't fully understand, as long as it don't curve clear out of the way, you know. You can tell the difference between true and false, but you take by faith by what He is doing, the same as by miracles. You must take them by faith in what He has said. So listen to it real close, and we'll bring a blessing here for you. God's fiery eyes. Now, do you know there's something about the eyes of the immortal God? How many of you know the eternal eyes of the Lord? They're beyond atomic, and they are beyond anything to do with cosmic. I notice in the nation the pestilence that we was preaching about is almost getting loose to walk on them. That David, also the prophet, saw awful destruction in that. And the atomic powers that be that are coming, and all of this heading up to Armageddon later on. But the pestilence, and every time is getting loose, and people don't know which way to turn. The Bible absolutely predicted at the end of the age the pollution of the land and the pestilence. That means poisons. Pestilence means all kinds of plagues and poisons and all kinds of things. And we see that. But His eyes are beyond any kind of radiation. It's beyond any kind of thing of lasers, anything that man can produce that's involved looking through those eyes of the deepness of the eternal God. Is something different there. Even when Jesus walked and looked out of His eyes at the people that were kind of like human, but the fire of God was inside of Him there. But then when He changed to His glorified state, something else takes place. And a few of the old prophets got to see it in John on the Isles of Patmos. And that's what we're going to deal with. God's fiery eyes, manifold secrets in those eyes. Now we read this in Second Chronicles. If we want to read this, Second Chronicles, Old Testament, 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. See, they're never sitting still. Throughout the whole earth, He is moving with those eyes. It says He is strong to those who are perfect towards Him and believe and have faith in Him. But the foolish shall have wars upon the earth, because that they're not towards Him, neither do they believe in Him. And so we see that's why we have some of those things. We'll read a little another one here. It says in Job 34:21-22, for His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. God is everywhere. Even when it's dark, His eyes are there. We'll get to some more of that in a minute. Now listen to me right here. In Psalm 66:7, His eyes behold the nations, not a one of them escaping. You know how you say, how the Lord, His eyes, and the way that the Holy Spirit moves, it'd be about the whole nations would be about like you taking around a circle or something in your hands and looking through it at the dots. His eyes behold like that of the nations. And it says here, and those burning eyes see it all. They see your faith. They see your doubt. They see your ups, your downs, your tears, your joys. It sees you when you give and when you don't. He sees your praises and your faith. And He acts accordingly to all of these when He sums it together. Now let us turn to the rock, which is Jesus. Zechariah 3:9. These are revelations this morning, if you want to read them real good here. Zechariah 3:9. For behold the stone. There's that stone. That I have laid before Joshua. Upon the stone shall be seven eyes. There's those seven revelations of God, full of revelations. And that stone is Jesus. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in a day. And then in verse 8 of the same chapter 3 of Zechariah, it says, my servant, the living branch. It says, my branch, the servant. He is the living branch in there. And then, as we go there, now remember how the stone with those eyes that are in it, full of revelations. We're going to the book of Revelations in a moment, and you'll see it a little bit clearly. And then we see Zechariah 4. It says here, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. He knows, see, what man is planning. He knows all about the different catastrophes and the cataclysms that are taking place and when they do take place and the storms. All of these things he knows. And his eyes are something different than what we've ever known about or anything. They're all revelation here. And then up here in the other verse, let us read in verse 7. It says, "Thou art, O," it says, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" Possibly speaking of the kingdoms of Babylon. "But before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." He'll just level that right down. Remember the stone that came down at the feet and destroyed it and become a mountain that covered the whole earth, and the Spirit of God covered the whole earth, and he shall make it a plain. And then he says this, "And he shall bring forth the headstone that's full of eyes of revelations thereof, with shoutings, cryings, and grace unto it." Now there's those revelations in that stone. And that same stone, Jesus, the rock, he is full of revelation and power, and he reveals it to his people here. And it says, "These are the eyes of revelation to his elect, to those who want to listen, revealing the deepest of revelations. As the age ends," this is going to come into play like we have never seen it before. And so, listen, we see something here in Revelations 4:3. That's Revelation 4:5. And it also reveals the rainbow throne above it in verse 3. And we'll read this, verse 5 and verse 8, as we turn to it here and see what the Lord has. Now, he's leaving that stone, and he's going right here where it explains it better. "And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire," there's your seven eyes of the Spirit, "burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." You say, God is seven spirits? No, God is one spirit. But those seven spirits broke off from him are seven revelations that he will reveal himself to his people. Now, he can reveal spirits of hundreds of different types to his people, but he has chosen to reveal to his people the Word of God, his future, and the future of this nation and all nations, and the millennium, and times in the beginning, and clear through the book of Revelation. He has these seven revelation eyes. Sometimes only one of those will move through history, and two of those will move through history, revealing each time a little part to man from these lamps, these messages that come forth there. And it says, "As seven lamps, there's the eyes of God burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." We know that God is one Holy Spirit. And a lot of people wonder about this. He is one Holy Spirit, eternal. We know that. It's like one night I'd read this, and I says, "Now I know it because of all the Scriptures." But a lot of people, like some of the Baptists, Methodists, and different nominals, and even some Pentecostals, don't quite understand it. They take it by faith, knowing that God is one Spirit, and they don't really know what to do with it. But it's seven revelation spirits, messengers type, that he comes to his people to reveal himself to them. He will use this to do that. And like I said before, he can go beyond that if he wants to. But for this earth, and the earth that we live in, and the Adamite seed, that's what he has chosen. Now, if he wants to create something else, in billions of light years away, wherever he's at, he can go beyond that, and probably has. We don't know. The secrets of God are more than just in the Bible. We know that. We know all about it. And the Bible, as I was speaking one time before, if you take the Bible, that not even one-tenth in this Bible has been revealed about God. And that means that it's such a percentage, there's not even a percentage point, even what he has given us here, how great and what the Lord really is. And you can hardly bring it to the people. When I talk to anybody, I never would bring the whole thing to people, because they couldn't take it, because they don't know how to take it all. But what God gives me, I give to the people, and it's hard enough to swallow. But anyway, these seven spirits here, see, to reveal all the deep secrets and the manifold things, and there's nothing he withhold from his people, but they will be revealed in these spirits as they come forth. And at the end of the age, like I say, sometimes one of those spirits will come forth to reveal his people, then two, then three. At the end of the age, all seven of these anointings will separate. They will come together then. And they have never come quite like that except when Jesus was with Israel. And as he was standing before Israel there, those seven lightnings and anointings on him to reveal the revelation of that time. But even he said, "The works that I do shall ye do, and greater works and things than these shall come. But they'll come to a people called my bride. They will come to an elect bearing fruit, and they will come that way." So those seven anointings will come at the end, and those seven lamps of fire, those seven powers of revelation is what they are, off of one Spirit. There's seven revelations off of that one Spirit dealing in various ways and manifold wisdoms and knowledge to his people and discernment. It's coming like that. And then those seven lamps and anointings in Revelation chapter 10, when it comes down, and it's as if a lion roared in there, and there's thunders in there. And then it says there that the seven thunders begin to, there's your seven powers coming together, as you might just transform transfer over into that chapter the seven lamps and the seven revelations of power coming down in Revelation chapter 10 when the lion roars and it thunders. Because why? There's a tremendous amount of energy being released from the Holy Spirit there. It was so powerful, God told John, don't write it. It's connected to the translation. I don't want him to know anything about it, John. John's the only one that knows what that said. But if he revealed it to one, a type of the church and a type of the ones that will be in heaven, then it's for a purpose. Then it not only was it revealed to John, it will be revealed to somebody like John at the end of the age, a group of people like John that comes in the power of the Lord. Then those secrets and the thunders and the power that prepare them will come forth to his people. John heard it. He couldn't write it at that time. It's associated to the translation because right below that there's a calling of time. And time is called. That's what it's all about. It's secret. And those seven lamps are transferred with those seven anointings in those clouds and the rainbow. And it comes on down. His face is just shining like the sun there. And he's about ready to call time in there. And that's what it's all about. And so John just goes on and said that at one foot was on land, one foot was on sea, and his time shall be no more. She's cutting out. And he wouldn't tell John any more about it. But at the end of the day, it's associated. So those seven lamps, those seven revelations are in those thunders, just transferred over there. And it's there with great power. A person, the same thing in that throne catches up something, that throne. Then one day I was praying, and it was having a summer storm, and the Lord, I said, you know, it'd be a good way to explain that to those people, those seven revelation spirits, or those seven lamps that are there before the throne. And it said, one set. It's what it says there in verse 3. And one set, like a jasper and a sardine stone. And it was crystal-like, clear, when I looked at him, beautiful, sitting there behind that throne. One set. He was standing right there. And so the Lord, and this is the truth if I ever told it, and I was walking around, went outside, and there was what we call a summer storm, and the lightnings were just, you know, lightning right off, and they really get it here. And the Lord did something special, and I know good and well it was the Lord, over towards the temple this way, kind of going this way. I looked up, and as I was looking, I noticed the lightning every once in a while would cut across there. And the Lord showed me, and I was praying about that, had no idea that's what he's going to do. But you know, there's lightnings, it said here before the throne, lightnings and thunderings. And sure enough, there was a lightnings and thunderings around there. And I looked up, there was one bolt of lightning. And man, it went across the heavens, and then at the end of that lightning bolt, which was one huge bolt that went across the heavens, you could see it, it just went clear across the heaven. Then at the end of it, there were seven flashes off of it, and I said, "Whoa!" And I backed down. There he is. One bolt of lightning and seven things off of it, just like that. So there we are. He is that one bolt of lightning, and the same things that's on the end of the lightning, the seven revelations of that lightning broke forth in seven ways, and there's still one lightning bolt. How many of you are still with me now? My! Isn't that something? There he is there. And so we get on down through here. You see, he's revealing this thing. He's revealing it right down here. Then we come down here. That's as beautiful if you ever want it. I've known that for a long time, and it's the first time I reveal it to you. But I didn't know I was going to even come up here today because these eyes brought me up here. I was going in different directions with this. Now, we see this right here. Let's get down to this verse right here, and we'll come to verse 8. Now, here's some strange things around all that. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes. Now, you know the Lord can look through the eyes of his creation. I'll get that in a moment. And those eyes and those beasts were actually the Holy Spirit looking through those eyes. See, he's all around himself, all over in that throne there. He's everywhere in there. You may look at him right there, but he ain't exactly right there. He's everywhere. Can you say amen? He only does that to attract your attention to that one spot so you can worship him, you see, and revealing himself like that. But here we see something that's mysterious. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest day or night. They're full of energy, and they're saying, "Holy, holy," three times. See, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come," meaning that he come as the Lord Jesus beforehand, and he is, will come again, and that's in the first chapter there. And there's these things here, beasts full of eyes, and there was Jesus there. And people say, now why they put that like that? I know one had the face of a man, one it looked like the face of a calf, another one the face of an eagle, another lion, but they were there. It won't be like what you think it is. Why the words beast was used there in the King James, no one really knows. The real rendering would be, in that particular case, the living ones are the burning ones before the throne. Because in Isaiah 6, he saw the seraphim full of eyes and wings, and they're called the burning ones in the Hebrew. And then you get up here in the Greek, you see, that's in the New Testament here that you have it. But nevertheless, God seen to it that it would be put there as the beast. Now, why would anything associated to God be called in that kind when we always say upon the earth, you know, are the beast and things like that? And I was working on some more subjects. I'll bring just a touch of it in here. And we see that in the very beginning, You know that a third of the angels that by predestination they were to fall, God knew all of that. See, His great plans runs its infinite, and no use you trying to keep up with Him, because that's an impossibility. And so they a third, they were predestined to fall. See, the reason that Satan couldn't succeed, God beforehand knew that that would only be how many would fall. And the negative part of heaven fell. See, it would no longer get along with the positive, and it came to earth. Well, in that third is all types of some of God's creatures and things that the Lord created. Even some of those type that we read in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, where the chariots and the powers that be of the Lord. Even some of those types fell, and today, those are the opposite kind of lights to the good truth kind of lights that we see today. Now, you know, you'll see false lights in the heavens. That's right. Then you'll see the true cherubims, the lights of the Lord. He can have angelic, anything that He wants to, moving, and the powers that be. He has 20,000 chariots, the Bible said. David the prophet saw something come down one time that he saw in that same area. I want to get in that today. But different types fell. And we see around the throne the guardians with these eyes. They're the ones that guards the thrones and the messengers in those lamps and so forth that go forth. And it's the type of way God visited man, that one chapter there, if you want to know all about it. But when Satan fell upon the earth, they left their estates, you know. They fell upon the earth. And you go back to as far back as the different creatures that fell. There was angels of heaven. There were others that fell that were closer to the earth, guardians. They were type of watchers, patrollers upon the earth. But all of this that fell away went after Satan. Because when God makes something, a positive something, He makes a negative. He always does that. He made a male, He made a female. And you can see that in all the creation. He makes good and He'll make bad. He said, I am the Lord. I create good, I create evil. It's according to man. And see, which one will you choose? Will you choose the curse or will you choose the blessing? It's set there. He doesn't want you to get in the middle. You're going to go one way or the other way. You're going to go to the Antichrist, the end of the world, or to the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal one. How many of you are still with me now? So that's why He's got the negative. And so here, when the fall and all of this thing came, then upon the earth, there were different type of creatures and different kind of fallen angels and so forth like that. And then you have demon spirits and all of the things that was things that existed pre-Adamic time, way over in there that fell with Lucifer and so forth. I don't want to get in that. Glacier age and all kinds of things came. But then anyway, those different ones falling to the earth, different things happening. Now we see in the garden, the positive. Adam and Eve were positive. But did you know, in that same place, God had a negative to the same thing. It was negative. Lucifer and the beast were in there. Now, before the throne, these are called beasts with eyes. Why did He use that? Evidently, something not just exactly like this, but something else that would come under the same rendering beast, anyway, were upon the earth, or something to that effect, because they fell. But the beast was there, and Satan was there, and the eyes of the beast. And he got into him, the negative. Now, see, Eve, there was life hovering all over her. And there was life hovering over Adam. But there, in the garden, something had already that God cursed. Something that God had put a death on at that time. And it was on there. And so there's your negative with Satan. And he, of course, promised great things there. I don't want to go into detail in this because someday if God allows me, I will go into it and show you some things that will really, really reveal things that will show you that the Bible is definitely true and why things happen today and why the true seed is coming into that pyramidic shape of the point and why the other seed is just going to be flattened out at Armageddon. How many of you are still with me? And nevertheless, it's this beast that Satan got into at that time said he was upright. It was upright. It was standing there. Whatever it was beautiful. It was upright. And Satan there. Now, he was an angelic. It was a beast-like angel of light. He was a beast-like angel of light coming to Eve as the Word of God. See, coming there with part of the Word of God. And, of course, the negative at that time was able to bring the positive into scope. And when it did, of course, the death was on the thing and the fall came. And that's as far as I want to go. And then later, about the giants and so forth like that. Many great secrets in the Bible. And one time when I was praying, and the Lord said something out of the ordinary took place here. That's what He told me, and it's up to me to search. But nevertheless, in all of that, the things falling from heaven upon the earth to corrupt the earth, and all of these things, they were down there even before Adam and Eve was created, all over the earth. And there's these beasts here, and then we find in the garden one subtle, crafting, and cunning. It was an angel of light. It was what was coming there. And Satan got in it, see. And like he come to Jesus, Satan come to Jesus. The Lord wants me to tell you this. Wasn't going to tell you this. And Satan, here he comes. Now, he's good. The same tactics he used on the angels and same tactics he used on the patrollers and the watchers upon the earth that fell too with the angels that were watching. Some of those fell. Some of them didn't. They went back and reported. All right, because those were the positive. The negative fell. Now, and you come to Jesus. He found out one thing. There was a positive one that was going to stay positive. Can you say amen? Burning with fire. And he come up there. And here's old Lucifer. Same he pulled on the angels. The same that he pulled to the beast and to Eve. He told the beast a lot of things too. And he told Eve. And he come up in there try to get that fall. He come try to get Jesus to fall. And he come up there to Jesus. And when he did, he stood before him. He said, and took him up on a pinnacle there. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world from the beginning to the end. And these will I give thee, if thou shalt worship me. And he said, and you shall be controlling over all of these things. Now, you see how Lucifer worked? He come right there in a garden. He evidently, whatever this thing was that he talked to, and Eve too, he promised. He says, we'll have a kingdom here, and all of these things will I give thee, and you'll have the whole kingdoms. And there was something there, but just besides the words he put in there, and it let us know there was a lie behind it. You become as God. So he was talking about rulings. He was talking about becoming gods. Their eyes would open, and they would be rulers upon the earth. And so he just pulled Eve in there, and the lie, and he told the beast, he said, out of this seed, and the Bible said that the seed of the beast and the seed of the woman, so forth, through history will fight. And he promised that you'll sit up on the throne, and all these kingdoms will I give you. Just look what I'm going to do for you. And he told Eve, just look what we're going to produce here. Well, howbeit, he told them both part of the truth. How we know at the end of the age that the same promises that he told the angels, he told in Eden, that he told Jesus, told the same thing to Jesus, then he told a part truth there to them in the garden, because at the end of the age, truly, he's called the beast, and he sits in the temple of God declaring that he is God, and for a short while, he does rule the earth like Satan promised, and he sits over the kingdoms of the earth, but howbeit, his time is short. Can you say amen? Now, if you can't believe that revelation, you can't even believe anything that God does. Exactly true to word in the Bible there. And that old seed will sit upon the Antichrist. He'll claim that he is God. See how Satan said you become God. And he promised in that beast. Anyway, to keep what, when he talked, got through with that was standing there, the Lord shut him up forever, because it went on the ground and crawled away as a seed. It wasn't loathsome like that at first. You go back and check your scriptures in there. Go back to the original that they have on the manuscripts, and you'll find out what it is in the old ancient manuscripts, that even after the King James Bible itself, which God, it's the only Bible that I'll ever read, the only Bible that I ever won't. And if there's any type of human error, it would never hurt the revelation when it was put together here. God's seen to that. It's as close to the Word of God as he wants man to get. And that King James, how be it, they may have several interpretation, different Bibles, that you might get a little wisdom out of or something like that. But this is the favorite, the one that will always stand, the style, the power, the anointing, and the sweetness of it, and all of that that God put in here, that he put in here. But nevertheless, when the King James was dead, at the time that they took the King James Bible and put it together, there were a few manuscripts that even at the time they didn't quite know how to put together. And in those ancient manuscripts there, it doesn't take away from the revelation. It gives them more light and root words to where they could go. And it brings it out in a clear light, exactly as the King James said, without saying it, but it's there. But nevertheless, the two seeds was to war. One against the other, says, read it in Genesis 3. They were to war down through the ages. And this would go on at the end of the age. The woman seed and so forth, Adam, and race fighting back and forth. And then, of course, one would sit on the throne, the Antichrist. And so with these promises that Satan causes things to fall, he has a good clear shot at them. And so we see that. I don't want to go at that. That's not my sermon. But I'm trying to tell you that things that people don't understand, when he cast them out of heaven, and a third of that fell, different types and kinds fell. And different ones, at the time, after they left their estate, some of them God changed too. I could bring you revelations that is really wonderful, God. I've been praying about it, but I never, it was for my own benefit. But the thing is this, and all through the Bible, and as we go further, and then the great secrets of the great millennium, that I never seen it that way until I began to read in such a way, totally in that direction, and then it dropped. And the Lord showing me different things, which is beyond probably anything that people know about. But it's God, and all through the Bible, he has his way. Now, this morning, this is not, you know, like for new people that just come, and yet it is too, if they will understand. It's for revelations deep. It's where the lamps burn fire. It's where the thunders roar and the lion roars. It's where God's power is like lightning. It's for the elect of God and those that shall be the elect of God. It's revelation that stimulates. It'll make you drunk on the power of God. It is powerful. Can you say amen? Sure. It's revelation. And the reason why you didn't understand all of that I spoke about a while ago is that he told me to go thus far and no further in this thing right now. And I'll come back to my message here. And so we see the beast full of eyes. There they are. King James calls them that beast, see? Yet they're the living ones, the burning ones there. But like I say, he had reason for different types that had fallen there. Now we see here, and sure, those same ones are associated to men that preach the gospel. One had a face of a man. It's the type of a laborer that come in the different dispensations, the type of anointing of a lion, the eagle that flies, and so forth, and the calf, the laborer. And we've got it all down there. But it all works together. Now, we'll get into this right here. Now, did you know in those eyes, and we just read about in throne. Now, Jesus looks right through his people, through his angels, and he through his spirit. He's watching right through every angel's eyes. When Satan at the time was doing that, he could see through everything that he was doing right there. And he looks through all of his creation. In fact, he sees through all his living creation at once. We are his eyes too, great and infinite, creating in space at the same time that he's looking through each one of us. He just looks through like light. You say, well, how if somebody's blind? That doesn't stop him seeing through their eyes. They may not can see, but he looks right through those sockets. How many of you are still with me now? There's been blind people that seen visions, yet they couldn't come back and see again. God is real. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, you know, some of you people don't want to go this deep. Well, all I can tell you is just go to sleep, then miss it. But it's really here. It's right here. It's for those that want to listen. I'm laying these foundations because later there might be an opportunity. And I want you to listen. To there's those eyes, see? And Ezekiel 1:18, here we go. I got out and he brought me into that throne and showed you some things there. And the reason you won't entirely know all that until one day, I will probably tell you a little more, should he permit me. Now listen to this. Ezekiel 1:18. Their rings was full of eyes. They were high. They were dreadful, these flashing lights. And in their rings was full of eyes and looking through them. Now this could have been some celestial type of craft with lights. It could have been something that's supernatural there. It could have been showing the advancement of craft. But in that chapter, it shows two or three different things, which I'm not able to go into. But in the chapter, it showed the supernatural power of the Lord. And it shows the God's living creation. Creatures, crafts, probably these here celestial crafts, advanced ahead of anything that we have today in our spacecrafts that we ever will see. And during the millennium, God is going to show them some things about his celestial craft that they have never seen before. Now, you wait till we come to the millennium and how that God shows and reveals the science of the Lord, how great and beyond it is, the science of man. In fact, it's beyond, the word science cannot be used, but I'm going to use it there, the advancement of the Lord. It is tremendous. All of those secrets, he will reveal to the bride. He will reveal to the elect. And what you have seen in the Bible here and the revelations here is nothing in comparison. What you will learn, what you will know by the supernatural knowledge of the Lord, and what he will show you will be the joy that you've never in the history of the world had ever even, it's not even entered to your heart or your mind, what God has prepared for you. So when you think about the trials and the tests, he knows those are there. He knows these things are rising up. But at the same time, he's trying to show you, oh, just wash that off. My, if you only knew what he has prepared for you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Now, we want to listen. We get real close here. Now, we see here, the eyes that can destroy beyond any laser or any beam weapons, Revelation 19:12, it says this, and his eyes were a flame of fire as he looked. Now, what are those eyes? He annihilated the beast and his armies with those eyes. Inside of that body, it's just a Holy Spirit fire that breaks forth from his eyes. They're flames. Out of his mouth, his brightness shall destroy the Antichrist. Out of his mouth, a flame. And in his eyes, that Holy Spirit is inside that body, and it shoots forth stronger than any of the atomic hydrogen, any kind of the laser, or the light beams. They're right there. They cannot hurt his body either. And they will not hurt anybody that's the elect around him. But there comes a change upon them when they're caught up before him. But he knows what he's doing. And those eyes were flames of fire. Annihilated the beast armies, it says here in Revelations 19:12. Revelations 2:18, it said his eyes were like flames. Ooh, it burnt. He discerned his compassion, his glory was brought to that church age. Revelations 2:18. Revelations 1:14 in the first chapter. His eyes were like fire again as he stood among the golden candlesticks coming to his people there. There were eyes then of compassion, eyes of knowledge, eyes of revealing his true love for his church. His eyes showing you that how much powerful burning love, and at the same time, how his judgment would strike those that strike his church, those that strike his elect. Those same eyes of compassion are deadly. It is powerful. Listen to him. Listen to this right here. Daniel 10:6 reveals his face was like lightning. See, he's glorified. There he is in power. His eyes as lamps of burning fire. And those same eyes of discernment and compassion can turn into weapons beyond man's belief. And those little eyes, you watch and see what he does with them. And it's beyond that. He can look. Now watch this. He can look in a whole cities, by just looking at them, will turn to ashes with his deity forces, right straight out of that burning fire. Look upon the city, it'll be turned to ashes. You know what happened with those eyes? And he appeared to Abraham. He said, many eyes watching in that city. They will not repent. They have went the way of destruction. And even Lot is carried away. And he told Abraham, he said, we're going to go and destroy them. And at the final time, the two angels run for the life with those three and got them out of Sodom there. And there's a place in the Bible, you know, where it says that the three went on out of there, and always the one that looked back is a type of the world that went back into the world. And I wondered about that If I ever go through the Bible stories or the Bibles in the Bible, I would bring it then, but I'll bring it now. But one more. And it says that she looked back, and the three that were taken out traveled on. And it said here that Lot's wife looked back, you see. And when she did, she was turned to a pillar of salt, and it was destroyed. But the real reason, as I was praying, is that instead of looking back, she lingered. There's the true word that belongs there. She lingered. She did more than look back. She lingered behind. And today in the church, we find out that the true power of God, don't linger behind. You'll be turned to ashes by those eyes. Can you say amen? Don't linger behind. And those tribulation saints lingering behind, watch out. And so, as they cleared out of there, I don't want to go into all the details that caused all that in there, the unbelief in God. They worshiped materialism and different things rather than God. But as they got out of there, those same eyes that pierced and looked through at Abraham and to sit down and to eat and to talk to him, those very eyes were there turned and they changed over Sodom and Gomorrah. And the eyes of the Lord and that Daniel had seen and that Moses had seen one time looking in the fierce burning fire that he wrote the Ten Commandments with the eyes and the power of God by the finger of God. And those same eyes looked down just like cosmic light and lasers, and they come into that city and it just turned it into ashes. None escaped. And it just went up in a billowing smoke like an atomic blast of a great light and just billowed up in front of them. And the fierce wrath of God come down in there. All he did is look. And that was the end of that. See, and the beast armies run up there with all their modern weapons. Beyond anything that we know of today, they'll still come into more. And I said 1967 or 68, I said that one day they will have a way of concentrating light to such a point. It'll melt steel in buildings at hundreds of miles. They're working on the Manhattan Project. Risk released it about a week or two ago. Concentrating the light, and at the end of it turns to electrical power like and just disintegrates anything in its path. They can turn on a plane in the heavens and it'll just go to ashes. They're working on that. And nevertheless, all of this will come up before God. The beast and his armies at Armageddon, those eyes, it said when they saw him, his eyes here in Revelations 19:12, as we speak here, you can read it again in the Bible, his eyes were as fire when he looked at them. And all of their kind of weapons at Armageddon will mean nothing to him. And out of there, zip, and they'll just break forth like the lightning a while ago in different directions. And the beast and his armies are destroyed by the power of God. And the beast and the false prophet is thrown in the lake of fire, put into the pit, put away in the lake of fire, put away out of good there. And there's the Lord Jesus. So those eyes that love you so much are the same thing that's in him, because it said it was burning fire. And that kind of fire is beyond any kind of burning weapon that we have today, because he's far advanced ahead of that. It's in the supernatural world. It goes beyond any kind of thing that we have today. But however, he'll do it with his beams of his hand. The Bible says that in different parts of the Bible that there were beams that come out of his hands and great destruction. He is almighty. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Between his eyes and those beams in his hands, they haven't got a chance. And the Bible said he turns them back. And brother, and he intervenes for Israel at that time and sets down. Woo! Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful there? We really got into something here, didn't we? That's Revelation 19:12. And so we see how great they are. And these eyes of power, and it's beyond any kind of weapons that we have known of here with God. And just out of his eyes, I wrote this, those eyes of love can judge. Out of those flaming eyes was revealing to us his weapons against all of enemies in that chapter we just read, Revelation 19:12. And so we see all of these things that are coming here. And when the Lord comes through the Bible again, possibly that he does, all the doubt, the kind of things that cause people to doubt, and different things that they don't understand, he will clarify it. And he will clarify many things in the Bible. He is preparing and getting his church ready that they will feel the positive power of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and walk upright before God and his power. He's going to do these things. He's going to bring it. And you say, well, how many people? It'll be a few comparison to the world, but I believe this. You won't get a seat in here finally in this building here. You will no way possible before the end of the age. And I'll tell you another thing. It won't take so much God's power as it's when certain events are going to take place, but his power will be intermingled in there. But it's the reason that some of these revelations he give me, he holds them back in here, which partiality they've been given to the people. And all through this Bible, not just one point at the back and the front, but all through the Bible, different things here. He's going to sit down. He's going to teach his people. And he always have early runners. But the day is coming with tremendous power of the Lord to his elect. Things we've never seen before. Things that he will do that he's never done before. He's going to do it among them. And he has promised me and told me this, that through the ministry And it breaks forth like those seven lamps of fire. And we're getting in the edges of it because it just burns them right now, my lands, you see. And it's nothing compared to what sometimes he can turn it on. And we're coming into the grace and power that we've never seen before. And the eyes of the Lord and people that's photographed, you know, the glories of the Lord. It won't surprise me all they're going to pick up angels. Maybe those very fiery eyes as he looks across the congregation in here. Right in here or anywhere. And angels too up here. The Lord is real. What do you want to serve God for? Man, make him as real as he is and more so. But you can't. See, he's eternal. How many of you are still with me here? My, he is real. Well, see, people say he's sincere, he's serious. We don't want none of that. We want to get somebody that's not so sincere and not so serious about the whole thing. You know, the people get to fanatical at this stuff in here. Let me tell you something. In just a few years, those same people say, oh, my God, and fall right out in the streets. Oh, 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 oh. But you can't tell them now. Can you say amen? You can't tell them now. But you'll see. They'll come. And the same thing with Noah. They said, that crackpot, he's crazy. That's all he talks about is a flood and the judgment of God. And then when it happened and a thunder, they never had heard it before. And the lightnings of God, same as Revelation chapter 4, and the judgments of God on top of them, they said, oh, that's the wisest man in the world. He's not a crackpot. We're the ones that's crazy. See, Satan had promised pleasure and all these things to him, you know, to turn away from God. And there he was. And he was the wisest man in the world instead of being the craziest there. And then they were screaming and said, let me in. And you could see the echoes of the voices. And ooh, it must have been blood-curdling, shrilling to get in there and to be saved and to get into ark. But he shut the door and no one could open it. And then, see, then it was a different story. One look in Sodom, the same thing, laughing about Abraham on the hill with God's word, wouldn't come down there. Laughing even sometimes about Lot and the angels and all of that. But those eyes looked upon there, and it went up in fire and brimstone, the Bible says, and it was carried away in the winds. Wow! It's the power of God. So today, preach it now. Believe it now, and you won't be embarrassed later when these crises come because you love God. You have the Lord. He's going to gather His people together, and He's going to bless His people. And this here, this cassette that's going out here, on my mailing list all over the United States, and different people, I want to tell you, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for everybody that gets these cassettes. God bless your heart. You listen to the cassettes. There's a wonderful anointing. It's full of value, and you'll be healed sitting just where you're at. And remember, never fear death. Look into Jesus, resting in paradise. Isn't that beautiful? And the anointing of the Lord is right with you. And on these cassettes, everywhere, the Lord promised me and told me a definite, beautiful anointing will be upon those cassettes too, to bless the people and in the books. So just rejoice. Isn't God wonderful? That's a message He gave to whoever's going to get those cassettes, because all of them don't get them. Part of my list get my books. Some of them gets a letter. Some of them gets this and that. But different things. But that's a blessing for them. Isn't that wonderful? Great is God. My, my, my. He wants to bless you. His mind is running different mind. He knows at the time the person that's going to listen is going to need it across the nation in different places and overseas. He knows all those things. And there was a little welcome. Bless their heart. God will bless them too. Thou art healed. Thou art saved. God's blessings are with you. Isn't that wonderful? You say how? Just believe what was spoken. It's there. And so we see as we come down, these eyes of the Lord is narrowing down now until they're getting closer together. He's bringing that eyes that run through and fro the earth. He will gather His elect, and they will be here. God's power will be poured out. And I mean, there's going to be a hallelujah day. Isn't that wonderful? The love, I'm telling you, divine. You know, when you come to church sometime, somebody's made you mad. And sometimes you're upset about bills. And sometimes that this here, you can't seem to come like you'd really want to. Watch and see as He brings it. And with all of these things that's going to happen in the nations, there will be a time when you come to church. And they'll come and such divine love that you can feel the divine presence and the love of Jesus. It'll be something that you've never felt in such a way in all of your life. And the peace and the rest and the joy that comes with that. It shall be so, and you won't be able to feel all those other things that trouble you and they bother you. They may hit you at time to time, but when you come into His presence, there is really going to be a joy and the love of God. Believe me, I know what He's got coming. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to this. But the revelations, one day that He comes, He will allow me to preach somewhat longer at different times to bring it fully that He can bring to His people, and I won't be able sometimes to pray for the sick at that time. There'll be other times to where I will just take the whole time for the sick without any preaching at all and let Him work in that way. He has many ways to bring forth what He wants to do. And listen, we were just talking about this. The age is closing, and He's going to clear that out, the negatives. Make you positive. Bring into the scope of that anointing that you've never seen. Ready for translation. 1979 is a year that things, I believe I will have in a few months, something to do with numerical values. But nevertheless, I don't have time to go on that this morning. It would take another cassette. And so I won't go that way right now. But I can tell by the date of 1979, plus the way that the Lord moved on me, watch and see how things are going to change and turn. Just wait a little later. You'll see God. Keep your eyes open. Boy, if you ever picked a time, and it wasn't you, the Lord Jesus chose you. He guides you. He brings you. No one can take you out of his hands there. He's got you. But he brings the people by predestination. He brings what he wants, and he comes in here. But ever a time that people need to be in church, it's right now. And you've chose a good time with the Holy Spirit to come. Because you watch and see, these things are coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now watch. Watch this. We were just talking about how great he's going to do for you. No secret thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. No secret thing will he withhold from them. And you know what? When I'm talking to you, according to your faith, will that revelation break? And he will absolutely break from my sermon. Because according to your faith, according to what you think about God, is how he releases it from me up here. He has those eyes. And he's looking through those eyes all over this congregation here. And he loves you with those eyes too. And I want to be right in the apple of his eye. Can you say amen? I want to be there. Can you? Oh, isn't it wonderful? Remember all of these things, and there's many more scriptures in the Bible, what God has here, but he will withhold no secret thing. And when the church, the elect of God, get together in the unity we spoke about a while ago, in divine love, and compassion and power, the peace and the rest of God, and the joy, and they go to walking together uprightly as a body, in unity, there'll be no secret thing withheld from them, either in the miraculous or in the revelation, but it'll be God's power. Isn't it wonderful? My, my. And so we see, his eyes, listen to this, his eyes will attract us right to him, face to face, at the translation, his eyes will draw us right to him. He'll look right at us with those eyes, and we'll be drawn right there. And he's right there. And so, really, the body that we have, the body of Jesus is only a covering. All the Holy Spirit fire is within him. And that bursts forth in his eyes, and it comes out of his mouth even in its brightness to destroy his enemies. And it comes at the proper times. And we find it there. So those eyes are the Holy Spirit. They're the supernatural brain and infinite power of the Lord. That fire is the Holy Spirit in his eyes. That's the brains, as you might say, of the Holy Spirit looking out. Isn't that wonderful? And yet, there he is, standing right there before us. And so, in Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I watch all in eternities, and in all space and matter, all in heaven, and at the same time upon the earth, I don't miss anything, but I oversee all things, and that is easily done for me in the power of my Holy Spirit, which you have read in the Word of God. I see all things. Isn't it wonderful? All his creation that he ever made, his eyes are there. His eyes watch through every one of you each day. He looks right through them at somebody. He looks through his creation, everything that has eyes. His angels has eyes. Wherever they go, he watches through them. He's a spirit of power. My, what a revelation of God. And this says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He beholds your faith. He beholds your divine love. He beholds the hate. He beholds the anger. He beholds how positive you are. And he beholds how negative you are. He beholds how that you think about me. And he does. And he watches what people think about you or what you think about people. And he watches your faith and your unbelief and all of these things. And God rewards. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the eyes of the Lord are wonderful. Now listen to this right here. For there is no secret. Now that was Proverbs 15:3. For there is no there. For my eyes are so anointed, I could read real good out of the Bible a while ago. Listen to me real close. And it's the power of God. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Isn't that powerful there? Listen to this. I'll keep my eyes open so it won't happen to me again. Psalms 139:8-12. Praise the Lord. He's settling right in here. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. There's no darkness can hide from God. But the night shineth as the day. To God, night and day are the same thing. Did you catch that? There's no such thing as nightness to God. He's not like created beings there, you see, in the Bible. And so, to him, day and night are the same thing. Wouldn't it be beautiful if you had eyes like that? That day and night are the same thing to you. Isn't that wonderful there? It says right in here. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There's no differentials. My supernatural, isn't that wonderful there? By the power of God. Now, we see how that God is abiding, his eyes throughout the earth, gathering his people together. He knows, and people, you know, that would misjudge and say, oh, well, the Lord doesn't know what he's doing in Capstone. Oh, the Lord, he doesn't know what he's doing here. It's running pretty smooth, isn't it? He said, the Lord knows what he's doing. Never go because 10,000 people are trying to get into a place. And because this and that and what the crowd or what people would say. We all see the supernatural miracles, but we base it all on the Word of God. And it was just like this. Gideon had 30-something thousands. God said, I don't even want them around there. And he got them down and found he got Gideon down to about 300 at the time. And my, they could really believe God. And look what happened out of that 300, just conquering. And then it added up to multitudes and multitudes. But first, God run off about 30-something thousand. He said, I don't want them with you, Gideon. He said, they'll only get in your way. He said, they're only full of unbelief. He said, they don't really believe like the ones that I'm going to give you here. And Gideon was standing there at the water. And God said he kept driving them off. And my, he said, this thing's getting down here. Gideon says, man, he said, how in the world am I going to do this? God standing right there, and that sword right there with him there. And so, about 30,000 of them, God said, I can't use them. They don't have what it takes. And he said he got them down there, and he got down to, I think it was about 300. And out of there came forth the power of God. Them I can trust. Those have faith. They won't harm you. See, they won't be no negative spirits. Those will be believers. Those will be the ones. And out of that, you can destroy anything in your path. No matter how many millions or hundreds of thousands that are standing there, Gideon, I'm with you in the 300. Those are my eyes. Let's go. Woo! Praise God! Hallelujah! That's exactly right. And so today, out of that, it was able to bring multitudes and multitudes to believe in the kingdom of God. Out of the 300, it came back that the great miraculous miracles of Gideon that time, the people saw a great deliverance in the power of God. Same thing here today. Sometimes our crowds are tremendous around here, and other times they're not. But the same thing, God is working in his people. A lot of them come just to see the miracles, but I notice not many of them will come to hear the word of God. That's going to show us something. You know, in Revelation 6, there was a horse that came forth, and he was black, depressed, and he had the scales. And in there, there'll come a time that because he had bread that he was doing there, it has to do also with several different things there, famine, and plus it has to do with other things, sins and so forth. But the depression of that black horse riding in Revelation 6, it shows in the horse, because bread was associated in buying it, but it showed spiritual bread and natural bread. And in that horse there, the depressed black look in there, it shows you just as true as I'm standing here. It shows you there are going to be a famine for the Word of God. And brother, you can hardly even buy it. Can you say amen? And that famine is coming worse, sir, in that tribulation when that black horse rider steps forth in there. And there'll be no word. It said they'll run to the east, to the west, and to the north to search for God's Word. But they cannot find it, and they flee for their life in there. There's coming a famine for the beautiful Word of God. You can see these miracles and the powers that be, and brother, there's nothing that he won't do, from cancer to paralytic. He'll heal them by faith in the living God. But depressed, a famine for a black horse rides for the Word of God. I mean to tell you, you better get it while you're here, because it's going to grow worse. And when it gets into that stage, they cannot find the Word of God, and the earth is marked. And the only word that comes forth is the beast power that's there at that time. Let me tell you, listen to this. God's showing you something here, and it's coming. Of course, the horse means a multiplication of compound things that I could bring in there. But that's just one. You can preach a whole sermon on each one of those. And then the other three horses in there. And so we see, there it comes. And because the Word of God on the earth, you see death fall on the pale horse. Death rode across him. The Word of God's been taken, so it produces death. When you take this out, death comes. Can you say amen? When you take the Word out of it, I don't care how many miracles that are produced. When you take the Word of God out of it, she's anemic. And death will follow that revival. I don't care what revival starts with powers and miracles. If they take the Word of God out, death is on the thing, and they'll ride it out, and it won't be an eternity either. It'll whoop back in those ashes of Satan there on that pale horse when he rides. Isn't this wonderful here? Praise ye the Lord. Glory to God, and bless every one of them. You know, the Bible says this in the scriptures here, that blessed is he. And there's a blessing to those that read the book of Revelations. A special blessing was given to it. It never said that about the other scriptures, but there is. But in the book of Revelations, it said there's a blessing to those that read it, even if they don't understand it. A blessing that is similar to those thunders. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He got a feeling of those thunders, and he didn't even want the anointing on it. God said, nope, it's a different type of anointing, John. Just fall back. Your anointing will write the rest of this, and then that anointing will come from a bride. Oh, my, can't you feel? Don't you know what it was? The whole thing, God told me, I asked him, what in the world? And he said, don't write it. The Lord said his anointing would have changed in that chapter completely. And the whole rest of the book of Revelations would have changed. They have different anointings that come. John had another kind of anointing, of power. And Moses had a different type than him, and so forth. And at the end of the age, the anointing changes. And those seven lamps in Revelation 4 and them thunders come in Revelation 10. And calling of time. And just before he calls time, that anointing changes that John couldn't get it on him. Couldn't write it there. But they will come. A messenger, powers from God, will be strong and will set right down in them lamps. And let me tell you something. The Lord will draw who he wants to. And I'll tell you, when he gets through, it'll kind of be like old Gideon. There'll be thousands of people that understand the words and the powers that be from God. Oh, isn't he real? Can you just feel him? He's walking out there. I've got his attention. I don't know about you, but the Lord says, I love you. I love you. Can't you hear him? Go, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is holy, 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 those little cherubims, holy, holy, holy. The love of God's on this congregation. My, he's chosen to hear the words of the Lord. That one secret released there in the chapter 10 was worth the whole message, worth the whole cassette or anything that you might find. My, how God does love and reveal to his people. The world and the modern churches, they might not think anything of that. But the value of this world cannot buy the statements that come from the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet here this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We really got into something here, haven't we? Oh, you're going to feel that lightning. Oh, my. You'll feel that lightning. It'll be on you all day long. The lightning of God will be upon you all day long. You're going to feel it tonight. God bless your heart. Can you give him a wave? This message is through. Come on and give him a wave offering. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. My. Whoo, faith in God. Delivering all of those that believe in his word. My, you can feel the authority and power of God. You're going to come, and all those people that listen to this cassette are God's people too. Those that love the words of this cassette on my mailing list, those, they will believe in God in their heart. He has his hand on them, or they wouldn't be listening to this. Believe it. It is the word of God. Come on and let's praise him. Those listening to this, just raise your hands and you'll talk in tongues and praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit will move. You'll be healed by the power of God. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Come on down here. Come on and praise the Lord. Get happy. I'll see you tonight. Come on.